colleagues, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the conference call interim report to September 2020 of BMW Group. We have Oliver Zipse here, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Niclas Peter, Member of the Board of Management of BMW AG Finance. The gentlemen will first give you an overview of business development, and after that, you have the opportunity to ask your questions. Today, the order will be slightly different, and we will begin with Dr. Peter.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're all staying safe and healthy, and I'm happy that so many of you have dialed in, despite the fact that so many other things may be important. In the past few months, BMW Group has again proven its ability to act flexibly in a highly volatile market environment and to adapt quickly to new circumstances. After experiencing the full force of the coronavirus pandemic initially in the second quarter, we delivered a strong performance in the third quarter. We were able to increase sales and group earnings. The earnings quality is also reflected in our free cash flow. Currently, however, the situation is worsening again, particularly in rural Europe, and again, this requires a great degree of flexibility. The measures we introduced in the first half of the year to lower costs, together with our investments, are now paying off. This shows that we are safely steering the company and are making the right decisions, enabling us to limit the effects of the pandemic. Our strict cost discipline is having a positive impact on earnings, supported by additional measures such as focused management of our working capital. One of the main drivers for this strong performance in the third quarter was the recovery in customer demand in many countries, including China and Korea, but also in major European markets like Germany, the Benelux countries, or Italy. Electromobility has proven to be a substantial growth driver. Our sales of electrified vehicles increased significantly from the previous year, both in the third quarter and in the year to date. Performance was also bolstered by pent-up demand in many markets. Ladies and gentlemen, as mentioned, the business environment has remained extremely volatile, as underlined by sales development in the past two quarters. The BMW Group delivered 675,000 vehicles to customers in the third quarter, the highest quarter sales in the company's history. Just before that, in the second quarter, we posted our largest ever decrease in sales. Now the situation in Europe is worsening again. We have never recorded swings like this within such a short period of time. Setting the right course has therefore been especially important in recent months. The market developments and performance measures I've just referred to are having a positive impact across the company and in our individual segments. Let me go into detail here, beginning with the financial figures for the group. Group revenues for the third quarter totaled around 26.3 billion euros. Due to the suspension of sales and coronavirus restrictions, however, revenues for the first nine months were moderately lower year-on-year at 69.5 billion euros. Group earnings before tax for the third quarter reached almost 2.5 billion euros, which is up 9.6% on the previous year. The figure for the first nine months was just under 3 billion euros and therefore significantly under the previous year. The group reported an EBT margin of 9.4% for the third quarter and 4.3% for the first nine months. I would like to point out again that we achieved this in an extremely volatile and challenging environment. Ladies and gentlemen, the BMW Group remains well on course as the automotive industry is undergoing a transformation. We're investing in the future and continuing to forge ahead, particularly with electrification and digitization. A good example of this is the iNext, which will celebrate its world premiere in the next few days. Research and development activities accounted for around 4.4 billion euros in the first 9 months, with an R&D ratio of 6.3% as expected. A word about our capital expenditure, which was around 2.4 billion euros. In the year to date, we have systematically prioritized and focused our efforts without deviating from our roadmap for future mobility. We were able to reduce capital expenditure significantly from the 3.3 billion euros reported in the same period of 2019. This also had a positive effect on our free cash flow. The third quarter financial result stood at 540 million euros. A key driver for this was the BMW Brilliance Automotive result of 430 million euros. Thanks to effective pricing and high volumes, this figure was significantly higher than the previous year. Ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to the individual segments. I would like to start with the automotive segment. The segment's EBIT margin for the third quarter was 6.7%. Its operating result was 1.5 billion euros for the quarter and 152 million euros for the first 9 months. This means that despite losses in the first half of 2020, earnings were back in the positive range, although still lower year on year. This comes from healthy third quarter sales, a strong model mix, and better pricing from our young and attractive model lineup. Sales of our electrified vehicles are providing crucial contributions for complying with the EU CO2 limits. In the first 9 months of 2020, we sold over 116,000 electrified BMW and MINI models. That is 20% more than in the same period of last year. Strict management of our fixed costs boosted earnings quality, despite expenses incurred for provisions in the mid to high three-digit million euro range for restructuring measures, including personnel costs. I would like to give a special mention to our performance program, which is making valuable contributions to BMW Group targets across the company. I'd like to highlight three initiatives briefly. First is more effective pricing due to optimized sales management. Second is on the product side, specifically in reducing manufacturing costs and product complexity. And thirdly, we are also optimizing new initiatives such as future work structures. These will enhance the performance capabilities of the entire company. The decisions made so far are already having an impact, as seen in our quarterly result. We are therefore on course to meet our EBIT margin guidance of 0 to 3% in the automotive segment as planned. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a look at the free cash flow in the automotive segment, which totaled almost 3.1 billion euros in the third quarter and benefited from the positive effect of pre-tax earnings. It was also bolstered by focused work and capital management, as well as strict cost and investment management. At the end of September, free cash flow stood at 552 million euros. Group liquidity at the end of September totaled 21.8 billion euros. By the end of the year, group liquidity will be back towards its pre-crisis level, that is, at about 17 billion euros. We have the liquidity reserves we need to remain flexible and able to take action at all times if the situation should deteriorate. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now turn to the financial services segment. We also saw a recovery in new financing and leasing business with retail customers. Between July and September 2020, we reported a solid upward trend of 6.8% with a total of 538,000 new contracts. This is primarily due to demand in Europe and China. We also saw definite signs of recovery in the new financing business for used cars in key sales markets in the third quarter. The segment's third quarter pre-tax earnings trended significantly lower year-on-year at 458 million euros. As in the first 6 months, the main reason for this was higher risk provisioning compared with the previous year in a low three-digit million euro range. This was necessary after adjusting expectations for credit risks specifically and to a less extent also residual value risks. The financial services segment makes extensive provisions for its main business risks on an ongoing basis, as is customary in this sector. Based on current assessments, we are appropriately hedged against residual value and credit risks. Let's move on to the motorcycle segment. Here, we saw clear signs of recovery in many important markets in the third quarter. The segment achieved an EBIT of 45 million euros in the third quarter, which is an increase of over 28% compared with the previous year. A total of more than 52,000 motorcycles were delivered to customers in the third quarter and over 129,000 per September. The EBIT margin for the first 9 months was 6.4%. Ladies and gentlemen, now let's take a look at our guidance for the year. As of today, we are on track to meet our targets for the year and we can confirm our guidance for 2020. However, the volatility of the environment means our forecast is clouded by considerable uncertainty. Our outlook does not factor in the possible impact of rising infection numbers and measures to contain them. The situation is currently deteriorating, and if this continues over the coming months, this can have a significant impact on business development. Pending political decisions like unresolved Brexit issues are also contributing to this uncertainty. Although car markets recovered faster than predicted in the third quarter, we still expect to see a significant decrease in sales of just over 10% in the premium segment for the full year. We are therefore still assuming that the BMW Group's global sales will be significantly lower in 2020 than last year. We cannot expect the pent-up demand seen in the third quarter to continue throughout the rest of the year. In the automotive segment, we still expect the EBIT margin to be within the range of 0 and 3%. Deliveries in the motorcycle segment are forecast to decrease moderately during the forecast period. Based on our assessments, the EBIT margin should be between 3 and 5%. On the financial services side, we anticipate a moderate decrease in return on equity, mainly due to increased risk provisioning and a decline in new business. Group earnings before tax will remain well below last year's figure. As planned, our workforce size will be slightly lower in 2020 than last year. Ladies and gentlemen, we continue to focus our financial management on high profitability and consistent cost management, while at the same time creating leeway to fund necessary future projects. We are benefiting today from our strategic focus on the high-end luxury segment, for example. Thanks to our attractive 8 Series models and the BMW X7, we have been able to grow sales of highly profitable models by more than 70% since 2018. Over the coming months, our main focus will be on safeguarding earnings and continuing to improve our free cash flow. We are now striving to achieve a free cash flow of at least 1.5 billion euros for the full year. Any cash outflow in connection with the antitrust allegations by the European Commission, as well as a significant intensification of the impact of the corona pandemic, is not included in this assessment. Capitalizing on all business opportunities and absolute cost discipline will remain a clear focus for all areas of the company until the end of the year. we will continue to respond quickly and flexibly if needed to what remains an extremely volatile business environment. Our production, sales, and purchasing networks have handled these challenges exceptionally well so far. Aligning our production so closely with demand has proven successful, and we will continue to do so moving forward. Ladies and gentlemen, at the BMW Group, we think long-term. High profitability is the basis to achieve our strategic objectives, such as electrification and digitization. The same applies in these challenging and volatile times. We're making the right decisions now and setting the right course today to secure the long-term success and profitability of the company into the future. Thank you. This was Dr. Peter, Finance, now Chairman of the Board, Oliver Zipse. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome from me as well. 2020 has been dominated by the highly volatile coronavirus pandemic worldwide, which is now worsening again, and its impact on the economy and our lives. At the BMW Group, we respond to unexpected challenges like this with flexibility and sound judgment. The long-term perspective is and will remain decisive for us. We have demonstrated all of this in the first three quarters. Firstly, we're determined to target and exploit potential for growth and steer the company calmly and consistently through the coronavirus pandemic. In the third quarter, we demonstrated our performance capacity and kept the company on track for success in a difficult environment, posting the highest quarterly sales in our history. We can therefore confirm our guidance for the financial year 2020. We issued this guidance early in the pandemic and have only adjusted it once since. This means that was a couple of days ago, as you will remember. This means, despite all the uncertainties, we assessed the situation correctly. Second, we are aligning the BMW Group for sustainable mobility through our strategic decisions. This applies to products, technologies, and our organization. It is precisely at these so-called tipping points that BMW has often set the course for new beginnings in the past. We continue to do things the BMW way in times of upheaval and always remain an attractive and reliable partner for our investors at all times. With our products and technologies, we are ideally positioned for the years ahead. We want to be in a similar position from the middle of the decade on, when the conditions on markets will have further developed. And that is why we're already working on solutions for after 2025 and 2030. Because in our industry, timing is crucial to leveraging opportunities as they arise and being able to make targeted investments in the future. Today, I would like to focus on these points, that is, our perspective up to 2025 and our perspective for the second half of the decade. Let's start with the first topic. We have a fresh, attractive, and diverse model lineup in all segments that is winning over customers, as we've seen in the last quarter. This is how we were able to absorb the regional lockdowns and even improve on the previous year in some cases. In the third quarter, we delivered 8.6% more cars and almost 21% more BMW motorcycles to customers than in the same period of last year. In the year to end of September, our automotive sales decreased by only 12.5%, and we even increased our global market share during the pandemic to 3.2%. A look at the markets in the first 9 months shows how much the situation varies. In China, the recovery that began in the second quarter continued. By the end of September, our sales increased 6.4% to reach a new all-time high. In Europe, on the other hand, deliveries were down almost 20%. And in the US, sales decreased by about a quarter. Our models in the luxury class, and especially our electrified vehicles, emerge as winners from these times of pandemic. You could say circumstances provided a boost, aided by government-initiated measures in a number of countries. We delivered more than 116,000 electric vehicles and plug-in hybrids to customers in the first 9 months, a new all-time high, and a significant year-on-year increase of 20%. Herr Peter already told you about this. This trend became even clearer in October. We are already firmly established as one of the absolute leading manufacturers of electrified vehicles worldwide. We already laid the foundation for this back in 2013 with the fully electric BMW i3. Our Project I was the beginning of phase one of our transformation to sustainable mobility and has been a great success story. Since then, we have sold the i3 more than 200,000 times. And there's still no other vehicle on the market that has a comparable 360 degrees approach and no vehicle with a longer life cycle. Overall, we have delivered well over 600,000 electrified vehicles to customers worldwide to date. And now, as demand for electric models starts to pick up, we are starting phase two of our transformation with highly innovative vehicles. The Mini Cooper SE has delighted around 13,000 customers since March, and our current order book is just as full. The BMW iX3 will be arriving in showrooms in the next few days. Employees at the BBA plant in Shenyang celebrated the start of production in late September. The iX3 brings e-mobility to the extremely popular X family and paves the way for the fifth generation of BMW eDrive technology. In 2021, the BMW i4 will come out of the Munich plant with an electric range of up to 600 kilometers, followed in 2021 by the iNEXT. The board of management took the series version for a test drive already, and I'm sure this car will surprise and delight a lot of people. The driving feeling is unique for an eDrive. It sets a totally new benchmark for digitization and connectivity. The operating system is revolutionary. The interior is minimalist and absolutely user-focused, and the exterior is progressive. You will hear more about this when our next gen kicks off next week. Other fully electric BMW models will include the high volume 5 series and X1 as well as the 7 series. All of these will be available with four different drive technologies, petrol, diesel, plug-in hybrid, and fully electric. We call this power of choice. The customers choose the drivetrain that best suits their needs. That is why we need and use flexible architectures for several drive technologies. This enables us to meet demand for different drivetrains efficiently across all model ranges and segments. This is not only an exceptional capability, but also a competitive advantage for us. Our electro-offensive encompasses all model ranges with much more to come. By 2023, we will offer 25 models with an electrified drivetrain. Our plug-in hybrids are also doing very well. This is a great opportunity to introduce people to electric drivetrains. We want our customers to choose e-mobility for themselves because they recognize and appreciate the benefits. Later this month, we will be expanding our plug-in hybrid options for the 5 Series from 2 models to 5. That is more PS variants than any other model range. With the right timing and right technologies, and despite the coronavirus pandemic, we will meet the European CO2 targets for both this year and next. We have no doubts about this. This year alone, our fleet emissions will be around 20% lower than in 2019. We are preparing for future CO2 targets just as systematically and just as persistently. One key to success for our electric initiative clearly lies in our plants. We're expanding our production network for e-mobility and the necessary components. Here, we are specifically strengthening Germany as a manufacturing location. Let me give you three examples. By 2022, each of our four automotive plants in Germany will be capable of manufacturing fully electric vehicles. Secondly, from 2022 on, Dingolfing will be able to build e-drives for up to 500,000 electrified vehicles a year. Leipzig and Regensburg will produce battery modules and high-voltage batteries respectively. Thirdly, our new pilot plant for near-series standard battery cell production will also begin operations in 2022. The BMW Group has more comprehensive battery cell expertise than any other car manufacturer in the world. Our aim is to have the most efficient and most sustainable battery cell in the industry. Together with Northvolt and Umicore, we're creating a closed material loop for battery cells. We are combining the reorganization of our production network with structural efficiency improvements and optimized utilization of capacity. By doing so, we aim to save a mid-triple-digit million euro amount by the middle of the decade. At the same time, we're investing in research and development according to our commitment, more than 30 billion euros by 2025. Here also, we're continuing to focus on our locations in Germany. In September, the first Fit Future sub-project was put into service. And some of you were there to witness it. At the new FITS Nord facility in Munich, a total of 4,800 employees are developing innovations for the mobility of the coming decades. This makes the FIZ Research and Innovation Center one of Europe's largest R&D sites. It connects our 14 tech offices from California to Shanghai and Tokyo as a new digital R&D hub. Let's move on to my second topic, our perspective for the second half of the decade. We expect demand for fully electric vehicles to continue increasing significantly from 2025 on. Exactly then, just at the right time, we will launch phase three of our transformation. Here, in addition to electrification, the focus will be on digital connectivity and volume capacity. In 10 years, we aim to have more than 7 million electrified BMW Group vehicles on the roads, two-thirds of them fully electric. The company is already scaling up for this, both strategically and technologically. We have established two new cross-functional areas internally to coordinate, shape and take company-wide responsibility for key areas of transformation. First, in-car digitization. Over 20 years ago, we began focusing on digitalization in our vehicles. To this day, we've brought 14 million connected vehicles to roads worldwide. They collect 25 million bits of traffic information every day. Now, we're strengthening digital across the company and creating a new central decision-making function. All key software functions have been pulled into the new digital car unit since October, and they report directly to the board member for development. Our vehicles are managed devices. They're always up to date with the latest services and features. We're continuing to expand our successful operating system 7 to support this. It goes without saying that our user interface is easy to operate because technology should serve the user, and digital technologies are at the heart of BMW. Hardware and software are equally important to our customers. Second, underlying product development and its implications for our vehicle architecture from the middle of the decade. Our new cluster architecture is geared towards electric drivetrains. This area reports directly to me. It is organizationally connected to all divisions, from markets, finance, procurement, development, and production, all the way to sales and marketing. This gives us greater leverage and makes us much faster, also in cooperation with partners. The objective is for the new architecture to create an overall optimum. Our new plant in Hungary will play a key role in this, ramping up the new BEV-centric architecture from the middle of the decade. There is another aspect of our transformation in phase three. In the midst of the coronavirus crisis, we geared our company towards a circular economy. We aim to reduce our carbon footprint per vehicle by at least a third from 2019 levels by 2030. No other manufacturer in our industry is making its business model as holistically sustainable. throughout the supply chain production use phase and recycling. We cannot achieve this through offsets. We're using renewable energies and efficiency measures above all. This is impactful progress through technology. Ladies and gentlemen, the coronavirus pandemic is far from over. The current rate of infection, especially in Europe, makes this abundantly clear. The virus will remain the biggest of many risks for the global economy in the foreseeable future. New lockdowns could severely impact our business development in the fourth quarter and early 2021. However, the same rule applies in this situation. We will continue to respond flexibly to short-term challenges, as we have done in the past 9 months. And we will systematically and proactively set the course for the long-term development of the company. The BMW Group is in a strong position and exactly where it needs to be for the second phase of the transformation up to 2025, with a growing share of e-mobility and maximum production flexibility. We are now concentrating on the third phase of the transformation from 2025 and beyond. We will be making more fundamental decisions for this in the coming months. And now I'm looking forward to your questions. Thank you. Thank you to the Chairman of the Board, Oliver Zipse. And now, may I ask the colleagues to provide the technical information for the conference. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll begin with the Q&A session. If you'd like to pose a question, press the keys 0 and 1 on your phone. Your questions will be taken in the order received. In order to withdraw a question, please push the keys 0 and 2 on your phone. If you're listening over the loudspeaker, please pick up the receiver for asking your questions. First question, please. First question, Markus Clausen, Dow Jones. Your line's open. Good morning, Markus Clausen. I hope you can hear me. The connection to Munich doesn't seem to work that well today. First, a question about profit in the third quarter, which was well above the expectations of the analysts. Perhaps you could quantify what's the effect of cost reductions in this? And what other reasons were there for this fairly high profit? Second question, perhaps to Mr. Zipse. You took you announced fundamental decisions for the time from 2025 on. Could you explain what exactly we can expect? Maybe give us an idea. Thank you. Mr. Clausen, I'm sorry about the connection today, but sometimes that's just the way it is. So I suggest first answer from Mr. Peter and after that Mr. Zipse. Herr Peter. Well, Mr. Clausen, fortunately we were slightly above expectations with our car EBIT in the third quarter. What were the major reasons for this? Well, on the performance side, as already indicated, this was due to the good development or recovery due to pent-up demand. That was in the third quarter, in particular also in Europe and in the United States. And indeed, also on the cost side, it is true, we took some measures. We have slightly reduced personnel costs, partly due to the implementation of our personnel program. And then on the sales side, we were also able to decrease costs slightly on the research and development side. As I said, we continue to invest into the future of digitization and electrification. Mr. Zipfen?
Thank you for your question, Mr. Clausen. I kind of expected it after I made that announcement.
I would like to give a more general answer. BMW has two architectures today, and you know we like to talk about an architecture rather than a platform, because the idea of a platform does not at all reflect the complexity of our industry. We have two platforms, a front drive architecture that our 1 and 2 series, or most 2 series cars are based on, and the Mini as well, and then the rear drive platform for the 3 series, 5 series, and most X models. Now, after a certain time, these are renewed or updated, and as of 2025, this platform would have had to be updated anyway. And now the major question is, what's the objective? How do you want to develop that new architecture? And what we've decided in favor of, I can say that much, it's not a simple extension of the two architectures, but we're developing a new architecture which is based on the fundamental assumption that most of the vehicles on that architecture will be electrified vehicles and will be highly digital. And for this, we decided to go on that journey so that after 2025, up to the next decade, we can step by step replace the old architectures. And in the next few months, we will provide more details about what we have in mind and what we're planning to do and which vehicle segments that applies to. To us, that's a very fundamental decision indeed, to opt for a new architecture and to set the foundations for it. Thank you. Next question, please.
Roland Losch, DPA.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you. If sales in a quarter increases by 9%, why is it that revenues with cars decrease by 5%? Or to follow up with the second question, the 1,800 jobs that's been gone since June, was that in Germany? How many employees do you have in Germany today? And how many are in short time working?
Thank you, Mr. Losch. Mr. Peter, please.
Herr Losch, well, what's important in terms of sales is that in retail, that's included here, but total sales only partly reflects our Chinese joint venture due to the delivery of parts from Germany to China. Now, short time working, currently we don't have anyone. The plants are, well, have been running since the summer, just as planned. We already reported this, and well, in our program that wants to achieve our cost efficiency, we planned to have our headcount slightly below previous year's levels, and we're on a right track to achieving this. Thank you. Next question, please.
Edward Taylor, Reuters.
Thank you. I have another question here. Capacity utilization in your plants. How about the production at VDL Netcart? The X1s no longer being built there, and Mini models being taken back, taken to a BMW plant not specified yet. Will you still produce cars with VDL in the near future, or will all production capacities be relocated to BMW plants? I'm sure Brexit also plays a role in this. So Could you perhaps comment on this? Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Zipse, please.
Well, Mr. Taylor, thank you for your question. You have been following the coverage very carefully. Well, what we've done the past few months is we quickly got on our way to deal with the overall effects of the corona crisis. We try to, you know, understand them and drive measures. And as a consequence of that, our production capacities have to be realigned. And that has many components. Some of them you're already aware of, for example, the succession VDL Netcard, we will no longer place our production with them. Instead, those cars will go into the German production network. This will require some adjustments of capacities in the German plants, but in total, economically, this is all very helpful. This was one of the most important measures we took in order to increase efficiency in capacity utilization. And secondly, as I said before, the plant in Hungary, and this is new, will produce based on our new architecture. So these are two of the major things that we have decided on to newly align or orient our production network. If there's one thing I can add as far as Netcar is concerned, the production there will expire in 3 years' time. That means the current production of existing cars, so that's the Mini Countryman and the present X1 as well as the Mini Convertible, this production is running. So it will not be phased out in the short term. We just, you know, made an announcement as to what will happen in the distant future. And this is a decision we took in full agreement, in all fairness and openness, together with the management of Netcar. And I think for all parties involved, it was a very fair process to announce this early. Can you tell us if the Mini Convertible, for example, it hasn't been decided yet whether that will be going to Oxford. I guess that depends on the Brexit situation. No, that will stay with Netcar. I can tell you that now. Okay, so VDL Netcar will still be part of the production network in the near future. Yes, for the next 3 years. For the next 3 years. And then we'll see. But for the next 3 years, it'll remain as it is. Thank you. Next question, please. Jack Ewing, New York Times. Good morning. I have two questions. First of all, are you expecting the new lockdowns to lead to bottlenecks in your delivery chain or in production? Or will there even be production stops because of infections or the situation in Germany and elsewhere? And then second question about America. If President Trump gets re-elected, do you see a risk of new trade conflicts or punitive tariffs against German cars, as we've seen them in the past, or that been threatened in the past? What is the risk for BMW? Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. I'll pass both questions to Albert Zipse. First question was, are we expecting disruptions in our delivery chain? Well, currently we're not expecting any of that because different to the first lockdown, in most regions from which we source our parts and where we have our plants, the industry is still running. So that's way different because in most regions we have a lockdown of private life. If in some regions interruptions were to occur nonetheless, we'll react to this quite flexibly. So far we've not had a single interruption, and if we have one, we'll be very flexible. However, we're not expecting a complete lockdown or stop of production. The second question was related to the outcome of the US elections.
Well, of course, it's in the interest of all of us that we have a clear outcome of the U.S. elections as soon as possible, because especially for us in the economy, it's important to have planning safety. And at the current point in time, this is not the case yet. But we don't want to speculate and say, what if there were a certain outcome. What's important to us is, you see, for decades, we've been a reliable employer in the U.S. and we've been an integral part of society in the U.S., especially in South Carolina. Often we refer to the U.S. as our second home, because in Spartanburg alone we have more than 11,000 employees, and since 1994 we've had more than 5 million BMWs built there and exported in the world. Above that, we invested more than $11 billion, and the annual sales or purchasing volume is several billions. So last point I'd like to mention here is, for 6 years in succession, BMW Group has been the leading automobile exporter from the U.S. So you just see that the U.S. are very important to us. Next question, please. Thank you. William Workers, Bloomberg News. Hello. I have two questions. First question, do you have to make adjustments if there's no agreement on Brexit or the UK leaving the European Union by the end of the year? Thank you, William. Mr. Peter? Mr. Worker, thank you for your question. No, we will not adjust our outlook if there's no agreement reached by November. The outlook for 2020, that is. Of course, in the years to come, it would have an influence on those, but we'll have to wait and see whatever the situation then is. Thank you. Next question, please. Markus Fasser, Handelsblatt. Good morning. I'd like to talk about the global situation again. Currently, we have more as double the sales figures in China than in the US. This is a trend that's been around for a couple of years, and it has increased during the pandemic. I assume that in China, earnings have increased just as proportionally. Is that a dependence that worries you? Is it even a goal you have to create a balance or an offset? Or isn't it about time to say there's China and the rest of the world, and China just is so dominant, and that's something we'll have to acknowledge and perhaps even consider more investment? Or put the other way around, the US are starting to lag behind, further behind still. Do you have concerns that the uncertain outcome of the elections will continue to negatively impact your business in the U.S., and what are your perspectives there? Thank you, Mr. Fasse. Mr. Zipse, please. Good morning, Mr. Fasse. Well, as far as China is concerned, talking about dependencies, well, we depend on our customers all over the world, regardless of where they are. That's the way it is in a market economy. We do have this dependence. And if you have a closer look at China, of course, the country is so much larger than the US or Europe. And if you also consider what are the mobility rates there, they're much lower still than the ones we have in Europe and in the US. We don't like to talk about dependency here, because we supply cars to customers wherever they are in the world. And what's happening now is almost a natural adjustment owed to the size and power of that country. And for this reason, we will, of course, supply cars to support that growth, which doesn't mean that the other regions are becoming less important to us. Especially in terms of innovation, Europe is extremely important. Also, it's our home market. And the US, as the third large world region, plays a major role. So I already mentioned what our annual purchasing volume is in that country. So I wouldn't really like to talk about dependency because we also depend on Germany, on Europe and the US. And currently, we're not so unhappy about the developments in China because there, our products, you know, are in great demand. And to get back to your last question, well, Mr. Fasser, let's just wait and see what the outcome of the elections is. You know, we'll handle whatever the situation will be. Thank you. Next question, please. Stefan Koenig, Börsenzeitung. Hello, I have a question that regards what you said about the development of gross liquidity. In your statement, you said that the pre-crisis level shall be reached again, 17 billion euros. And how or when do you want to achieve that? Because we're at 21 billion at the moment. Thank you, Mr. Koenig. Mr. Peter, please. Well, Herr Koenig, it's a good thing that we are in a situation, despite the great volatility in 2020, which on a liquidity side puts it in a position of, you know, being able to act at all times. We have very flexible tools that we can employ on the capital market. We know, or we have a pretty good idea of how cash flow will develop over the next few weeks, in particular also in terms of our financial services, and we will adjust our capital market activities accordingly. And at the end, we'll be between 17 and 18 billion. Thank you, Mr. Peter. Next question, please. Christian Hetzner, Automotive News Europe. Thank you and good morning. I have a question about the iX3. That's the first BEV, fifth generation e-drive. We saw with other car manufacturers there were various problems, recalls, especially with the e-vehicles. However, you have much more experience with the i3. So in how far are you worried about the quality or reliability of the iX3 from Shenyang? And could you tell us something about the volume that we can expect here in Europe, if that will still be launched this year? I mean, there's only 2 months of the year left. Second question, that's about autonomous driving. You said you have 14 connected cars on the road and 25 million bits of information are recorded every year. Tesla has brought its beta version of the new car on the market in limited numbers. Could you, I mean, the system that you'll be using in the iNext, could you compare that with what we've seen so far from Tesla? That is only L2, but with potential. Thank you, Mr. Hetz. And Mr. Zipser, please. Thank you for your questions. Let us start with that fifth generation of our drivetrain, which contains the entire drivetrain, including the battery, electronic controllers, the motor itself. And we are pretty certain that this drivetrain, no matter in which car, it will be high performance. That concerns performance, range, and quality. Because you need to understand, if you have, or if you build a drivetrain at such high volume, there can't be much going wrong on the quality side. It must not. And for the industry, this is something fairly new. And therefore, we are happy that we have been able to collect experience for more than 7 years. This is why we're already at the fifth generation. And let me emphasize, the iX3, despite the corona pandemic, it was ramped up precisely as planned in Shenyang, precisely at the right date,
and the volumes are also right on spot. The quality is too. So we're expecting supplies in China to increase quickly, and after that, then also here in Europe and in the US. And you can be sure the quality management has top priority here, and that applies to all cars, but especially also the electric drivetrain. The second question related to automated driving and the i6. Well, today I don't really want to disclose too many details until we can present the iNext and tell you what that car can do. More about this next week, if you like, at the next gen. But two things are important. Our current driver assistance systems, the ones that are on the market, are among the best on the market. What's very important to us is the safety of the driver, safety of our customers. We will not experiment with that, and every manufacturer will be able to make their own assessment. And the BMW iNext, when it's launched next year, it will be a milestone also in terms of automated driving. And it'll have all the functions that are necessary for it. And then we'll need to have a close look. What is it our customers want? What are they ready to pay? What's the development stage? And in particular, in which regions of the world will which functions be allowed? As you know, this is a very dynamic development. And, you know, once we bring that car on the market, we will tell you exactly the details. Thank you, Mr. Zipse. It is almost 11 o'clock. We have time for one more question. Last question, Frank Johansen, Automobil Magazin. Automobil Woche is the journal I work for. Thank you. I have two questions. One is quite short. You said 2022 in all of the plants, e-cars will be produced in Germany. But how about Regensburg? You haven't announced any yet. Which one will it be, the X1 and the Leipzig? Will that be the i2 to 2024? Or perhaps do you have further plans? And then the new architecture that you announced, do I understand this correctly, that this will again be an architecture on which all cars will be built? Or is it an e-architecture, power of choice? Is that the approach you continue to pursue, or is that over? And then a question. Hungary, will they start first? Because I assume the other locations will follow. What is your time scale? Because the opening of the plant was postponed by 1 year. Thank you. Okay, you listened very closely. I'm very happy about that. You were very attentive. By 2022, these BEVs will be produced everywhere in Germany, that is correct. That's the i4 in Munich, that's the i3, which will then be reproduced in Leipzig, the electric 7 series, and in Regensburg, well, just wait and see. It'll be a surprise, but there will be one electric car from there as well. Now, the architecture. If you've been following that discussion about platforms, electric ones and so on, you know, this is a discussion we're not that familiar with, because that doesn't really put the finger on what is truly important. Architectures are something that you can work with quite flexibly, and you can develop cars in a very targeted fashion based on those. And usually platforms, if they're very rigid, they don't fulfill those needs, at least not for us. Take the iNext as an example. The iNext is based on an architecture of the fifth generation for the electric drivetrain. And this architecture, I mean, all subsequent cars can benefit from that architecture, but still it has its own body. This example shows you that the idea of a platform where you're saying, okay, this is the same, and then you just put something else on top, that doesn't apply to us. And now just take that one step further. It is truly decisive, what's the basis for your layout? And of course, electrification will play a major part in the future, but the logic saying that cars will be put together in such a way that they meet customer demand. That will remain the same, the way we've pursued it this year with Power of Choice, and you'll see no customer will even notice. No customer will notice. I guess that's really what counts. And we are, you know, we won't be get involved in a platform discussion saying there's only two platforms, combustion or electric. That's not at all in line with our logic and in how we do our product policy and how we work our markets. And the current market success, just say Mini BEV as an example, that's not a purely E architecture, and it's basically sold out. You know, success on the market needs other ingredients than that discussion might suggest. Then you asked about Hungary. Yes, that plant will be the first to produce that new architecture, and then step by step the other markets will follow. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, colleagues, let me state it's always good if the chairman of the board is highly qualified, and it's even better if he has a lot of experience in production. Well, thank you, colleagues, for having taken the time, and I now close this telephone conference. Thank you. Stay safe and healthy.